if you're wondering why Sarah's gearing up for is because she literally wrote like an 18 paragraph intro for you.
And I think that's what I've got. I've got to read that, and then I can do a second take with like a more like a generic one. But I'm just not prepared for the other one. I just was like,
should we just go ahead and cry?
Yeah, I think it's happening.
Well,
it's
I've taken
in the next 2 minutes.
What, Mucinex and my Vyvanse. So maybe I just can't feel enough to cry, which would be
good. That's good.
Okay, ready? Ready?
Ready. I'm ready.
There's no way I'm getting through this. Okay. Our guest today is Wonder Woman in real life.
I got a cape.
Okay.
That was awesome.
Okay, just bear with me. Okay. If this makes it in, can you just bear with me, person listening to this? You'll understand. Okay. She lives to serve others. Since she was a little girl, she's shown up for every person in her life selflessly. She's the oldest of four siblings, living with a working single mom since she was eight. Was that right? Most of your childhood since you were eight? Whatever.
Huh?
About eight-ish.
Who are you talking about? The kids?
No, you. I'm starting from the Earth's crust schools.
Oh, got it.
The
mom
very
and dad
beginning.
Divorced.
Yes.
I was eight. Mm-hmm. That's when we moved to the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's been a mother of sorts since she was eight. Her youngest sibling came along from her mom's second marriage when she was 11, and then she really embraced motherhood, excelling at literally all things, a world-class fish in a small pond. As an adolescent, she found larger ponds to impress all on her own. Sarah, you know, I had a cold, so this phrasing, but here we go. Seeking out community theater programs when her high school program didn't challenge her enough. Championing a Save the Whales campaign that filled her family's utility room with hundreds of milk jugs, winning every leadership seat available, not to mention best dressed, and doing a semester abroad in Japan as a junior in high school from a very small town. She attended Vanderbilt, where her mom and dad met as captains of the cheerleading squad and football teams, respectively. About as involved as a person can be through her college days, she graduated one of the cum laudes. Throughout her time states away, she always managed to show up for her youngest sibling, bringing her up for summers, letting her sleep in her dorm room floor.
Mm-hmm. Taking her to Spice Girls concert.
That's in here.
Oh. It hasn't happened yet, Tatum.
Getting her first chic haircut in second grade, taking her to her first concert, Spice Girls, in a box at Starwood Amphitheater, no less, and eventually letting her stuff envelopes in the mailroom while she worked at record labels. Initially, she was studying nursing, but was drawn to the business side of the music industry. At about 24, she got married and pregnant with twins, and in month seven, was it, car accident?
Six.
Month six. And your twin boys were born how many months early?
At 28 weeks.
28 so weeks.
3.5 months.
And I said they were a little over 2 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a difficult time. That marriage ended. Over time, she healed, and all the time, she was an amazing mom. She worked and carried it alone, eventually found a new path in the music industry. With her own experience with crippling medical expenses as a driving force, she realized an astounding reality that musicians do not have insurance. Most musicians don't have insurance, and even the most successful musicians are often uncovered. She began to lay the path to where she is today, and during this time, she met her now husband, Michael. They got pregnant almost immediately with an earth angel named Molly Tatum. It's the most beautiful baby that's ever existed. A photo will accompany her family photos, and we know you'll agree. And with the support of her family, she created and began to grow what is known today as Music Health Alliance, which is an incredible organization that's raised over $130 million in healthcare costs, has served over 25,000 members of the music industry or music industry professionals. She's helped me in numerous ways. My big sister, welcome. My second mom, my hero to many, Tatum Houck, also.
You win for longest intro for sure.
I mean, it was heartfelt, but you know, it could have used a few. That was maybe a draft, but it's true. That was all true. I skipped some of the you know, some of the things, but there you go. How's your week?
Well, I've just gotten over COVID, so it is much better today. Mm-hmm. Still can't smell or taste, but considering, all good.
You sound great. Look great. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
This is the fourth time, so I feel like I know what I'm talking about now. This was the mildest. Of all.
Good. Hopefully it just keeps doing that.
Yeah. I'm sick of this virus. I'm ready for it to be over for everybody.
I think I've had it more times than I'm actually aware of.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Bean, who was one of my college roommates and dear friend, she lives in Atlanta. She's like, I don't know why you test. Just stop testing. I'm like, well, there are some legacy staff members that I work with, and I really do not want to be responsible for their death. That's why I test. You know,
that's a good way to say that, legacy.
Instead of senior?
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of geriatric pregnancy, we'll call it a legacy pregnancy.
Can we just talk about that word? Geriatric.
Were you considered, how old were you when you had Molly?
37.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Walked in, and in healthcare, you want to fill people up with hope. So let's just go ahead and kick you while you're down, you know? Mm-hmm.
How was your week, Joy?
I can't remember. I know we've talked about, she's decided she didn't want to be in the crib anymore. And so she was climbing out, and we were not prepared for that. And so when there's a transition that's happening, I was just so angry for 2 days, and then had to be like, okay, I guess I'm laying with her while she falls asleep for all the naps and all the bedtime. So twice a day, this is my new reality. It's going to be temporary. I'm not going to have to do it forever. But man, I really didn't want to do it. I was just so annoyed that my easy bedtime was over. But usually once I have a couple days of going, hey, pout, be mad, whatever, and then I can usually come around to the other side of it and be like, okay, I'm surrendering to the new reality. Because the alternative is I can't be that angry all the time. My body can't hold it. I can't deal with that, feeling that, that consistently.
Huh. The snuggle time goes away so fast.
I know, and I keep telling myself,
change the narrative.
Right. Well, and I'm going to want that at some point. I didn't want her to get used to that when she was little, because I wanted to be like, okay, I love you, good night. And her own awareness has created that shift anyway. But now that I've surrendered to it, it's fine. Sometimes I don't like if I'm in there for an hour and then I try to leave and she's like, where are you going? Have you just been sitting here fully awake for an hour? And then I will get frustrated again. But it's getting better anyway. How's your week?
Well, I actually have a bedtime tip. We have been, Eric has been doing most of the bedtimes lately for various reasons. But whenever I make it upstairs which is one of my favorite times to brush teeth and to do the wind down. And occasionally Parker has asked me to come up to do this, which is one of the highlights of being a mom so far, one of my biggest wins. But he'll say, will you help me come help me calm down? And I'm it's like a meditation, but I'm going relax, guiding him through relax from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. And then we visualize something. And something that's really helpful for me is to say to slow down literally every movement, my thoughts, my words. It's really hard for me to do, but I do that. And I'm not going to do it right now because it would just,
I'm
take
like
up 5 minutes.
Your voice is making me sleepy right now.
Yeah, we zoned out. What'd you say?
I'll say slow down. And then the visual that I give him is him riding on a giant rainbow snail, and it has a saddle.
Total never ending story.
Right. I didn't remember that at the time, but I guess that's part of where I got that visual. And there's a little tiny baby bunny or bear or something on either side of him on a little cushion, and he's riding along and he's safe and whatever. So he's asked for that a couple of times. That might be helpful. It does make him fall asleep quickly.
Cool.
Might be a little young for it. But
there's a meditation app that it's a British meditator. I don't know what you call someone who leads meditation. Mm-hmm. And she talks about eeny, meeny, miny, and moe are running through the forest. And it's this total calm down story. Molly would be asleep 2 seconds. I mean, nice. And she asks for it sometimes when she's like having anxiety about something. She's still? Like, yes.
Love
I mean,
that.
You know, 12 yeah. years later.
Safe space.
And it is, it puts me to sleep. It's really sweet.
Amen.
I forget what it's called.
We're doing school applications. That is, I'm making it, it's just, I'm making it into a thing about me, I think. And that is like peaking anxiety. It's
like been anxious about how to, like, filling out the applications or picking the right school or which part of it.
Picking the right one, if we want to pay for one, or he's going to go to a public one, if the public one will be the right one. Just all these things.
Yeah.
And wanting him to feel, and I don't know, just all of the things that go into, or yeah, that, what you said. let's see, and wanting everything to go perfectly and be perfect and to have every, to be, have all the options that he wants and then, or that he wants. He just wants to stay at the school that he's at. So
right. And all the options you want.
Right. Yeah. and so I'm kind of magnifying that. And the two things that are kind of funny. Last night he said, let's see. Oh, he's been saying, you're not the boss. You're not the boss of this. And I want to say, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, I do say it doesn't really matter who's the boss. I'm in charge of this house. You and your dad and I, you have a voice. This is a democracy. It's like, what is he doesn't know what a democracy is?
Let's vote. You have get one vote, we get six.
Yeah.
But it's our job to keep you safe. And so for now, we're in charge. Because I don't want to, just like, who cares about who's the boss? But he said it a bunch of times last night, and I had to, like, set a consequence. And then it just felt like making him eat dinner, getting him to this thing, just rushing him to this. And then he had an activity after school and we're both sick and it's just whatever. And Eric came in and was like, do you want me to finish dinner? And I was like, no. And I finished dinner. And then right when Eric walked out, I just started crying. And first of all, this is one of the worst, not worst, but I don't know if this is, well, you guys tell me, but it's not great. You're going to tell me it's fine, even if it is. I feel like, to Parker, I feel like I'm just doing a lot of pushing and, you know, kind of telling you what to do all the time. And it might seem like I'm not fun. And I'm crying while I'm saying this. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to know that one day I'll be fun again and this won't feel quite like this. And he teared up and said, Mama, you are fun. You are fun.
Oh, he has the biggest heart ever.
And then I thought, okay, well, I'm putting my stuff on him and that's great. I've just done that. And now he has to validate my emotions. And I'm like, it's not your job to validate my emotions. So that's been my week. It's been good.
When I'm trying to get her, just when she's not listening, and then, like, she can tell I'm frustrated, Penny. And sometimes she'll say it sweetly, and sometimes she'll say it when she's still fresh, and she'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, Mama. I'm sorry.
I'm so feeling like the geriatric parent right now.
So you have two boys in college.
21.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They can drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are they drinking? Do they enjoy drinking? What have they tried?
One has a hollow leg and thoroughly enjoys it. The other does not. Doesn't like the taste. Really doesn't like to be not in control.
Mm-hmm. Were you trying to have kiddos? The twins the first time around?
Yes. So I had a starter marriage. I don't recommend starter marriages, mm-hmm. just for anyone out there listening. And we had lived together for about 3 years before we got married. And we were trying to get pregnant. And I got pregnant really quickly. And it was a rocky pregnancy. I mean, I had no idea that I hadn't even thought about a twin pregnancy. So I was laying on the ultrasound table and they were like, oh, your baby looks great. Oh, and your other baby looks great too. And I almost fell off the table. It's not something that had ever entered my mind. So I had a difficult pregnancy from the get-go. I was just really, really sick the whole time. And then at 20 weeks, I was driving. We lived out off Highway 109 on the lake and between Lebanon and Gallatin. And I was driving near Fessler's Lane and in a small car, and a semi merged into me and totaled the car. I was fine, but I had to spend the night in the hospital. And fast forward, about a week later, I started having, I thought they were Braxton Hicks, but I had gone into preterm labor and my cervix was completely effaced. So I got put into the hospital on bed rest and put on tributyline and magnesium, which I stayed on until 28 weeks and 2 days. And then I started having pulmonary edema. My lungs were filling up with fluid and I couldn't breathe. So they had to take me off everything. And I immediately went into labor at 28 weeks and 2 days. So I had been in the hospital. So the boys had had 2 rounds of steroids for their lungs. So I had an emergency C-section and it all happened really, really fast. And they pulled out Rex and he was kind of lodged in my pelvis and he came out holding his both arms up and they called him Touchdown Rex, which is pretty funny because he could care less about football today. And then David came next. They both weighed just a little over 2 pounds and they let me see them. And I thought they were the most beautiful things I'd ever seen. And then they whisked them to the NICU, sewed me back up. And the boys spent the next 9 weeks in the NICU. But Rex in particular had a grade 3 brain bleed. And they were handing me pamphlets on cerebral palsy and raising a child with a disability. And I didn't understand. I mean, I think naivety worked in my favor at that time because I didn't understand the magnitude of what that actually meant at the time. And within 2 weeks, the brain bleed resolved itself. And he just needed a little extra, I think he got a couple of blood transfusions, and he stayed on oxygen a little longer than David. But they came home after 9 weeks in the NICU. And I also, during the time I was in the hospital, is when my marriage blew up. So it was an excruciatingly difficult period, but because I had 2 babies mm-hmm. that were sick to take care of, I don't even think it dawned on me what a difficult time it was.
Yeah, did the blow up, was it kind of timed because of being in the hospital for so long and the kids? Was that part of it?
Part. I married a real asshole. Sorry, am I going to get beeped?
We don't
is this a family-friendly podcast?
We're not classy enough to have the beep sound available.
This is not for kids.
I married someone who was just not a good person, and he was very abusive physically. And I didn't tell anybody because I didn't know the term domestic violence. I thought it was because of me. I mean, there was a slow build to it. And it's hard to talk about because it wasn't. When I was in the hospital, I was checking our home voicemail, and I had left the record label to work for his artist management firm. And I was checking our home voicemail, and there were messages from creditors for me. And one of them was for, a seven-figure American Express bill approving a charge for the penthouse at the Venetian Hotel while I was on bed rest in the hospital. And that's when things started unfolding. I started to check bank statements and credit reports, and there were all these things that I didn't know about in addition to the abuse. But it was when the abuse escalated, when we came home from the hospital and the boys were in danger, that I called my family and asked for help.
Were people surprised? Were people like, oh, we thought maybe something was going on? Or was there any?
Our brother Gene knew something was wrong from the get-go. My dad, no one really liked him, but I don't know that anybody knew the magnitude of the abuse.
No. I mean, I was, in my,
how old were you?
Always selfish, but a little bit more selfish at that time period. But I knew something was wrong and,
I started isolating from my family, moved way out in the country. All the things what I know now are textbook.
Right.
He held a butcher knife to my throat and slammed my head against a kitchen cabinet and then strangled me and left me on the floor with a bleeding head and left. And that's when I called the police. Good times. You know, I look back on it and I cannot even imagine my life without Rex and David.
Mm-hmm.
And every night, I was a single mom for 8 years, 7.5 years. And every night we would say prayers and Rex would pray for a daddy. And every time it was just like somebody was stabbing me in the heart because I just felt so guilty. When we got married, I eventually did meet a wonderful person on eHarmony. Shameless plug.
Shout out.
Yes. I kind of forgot about
it. It was totally
eHarmony.
Taboo then, by the way. That was 14 years ago. Totally taboo then.
Now it's the geriatric website.
Right? See, I'm all over geriatric here.
Jeez, the founder.
And at our wedding, Rex walked up to Michael and said, I prayed for you my whole life.
Hey guys, if you are a terrible human like me, then your car is pretty constant disaster. And I really, honestly, there is no better place as a one-stop shop to make me feel like a better human than being able to just go to, you guessed it, Camel Express Car Wash. The vacuums, they meet the car seat and they do all of the things that we need the vacuums to do. They get all of the crumbs, all of the things in the tiniest crevices. There's air wands to get in all the little spots. The towels already have glass cleaner infused in them, so you can just wipe down the interior of your car too. You don't have to have like the special wipes and whatever. It's great, okay? It's great. Believe us. Just believe us. And guess what? If you haven't already, you can text MomCult, MOMCULT, to 30400 and you will receive a free wash. Visit CamelExpress.com to find your camel today. How old were the boys?
They were eight. Seven and a half, eight. Yeah. It was a special time. Sarah was my matron of honor twice. Second time was much better.
Much better.
And she was in charge for the, maid of honor. Yeah. That's right. And she was in charge of the musicians, and they didn't make it.
They didn't show up. That's actually, you know what? Well, you know, no. They came after.
Yeah, they came after. We were like, dude, ship sailed. They are married.
That was devastating.
It's funny now.
Yet another devastating thing.
I
had laryngitis at my sister's wedding, and I just cried the entire morning because I couldn't talk to anybody. And like
quietly,
her wedding was such a big deal to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my sister's wedding. I didn't cry. I was so happy for her.
That was a really good
deal. We were all there.
Too.
That was
we
fun.
We were all there.
Yeah.
And I was there in the hospital. I held Molly when she was born.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that pregnancy was great. Easy, much easier pregnancy. Went full term.
Yeah.
And I had a husband. I mean, like, whoa.
Some actual help.
Totally different experience. Yeah. Highly recommend that route.
Better.
Did you and Michael, were you guys on the same page that you wanted a
Absolutely.
Kid together?
We actually, none of my pregnancies were planned. Were planned, but they happened faster than anticipated.
Right.
So with Michael, he is 12 years older than I. No, he's 16. You're 12 years older than me, Sarah. Michael is 16 years older than me. So when we met, we knew this was real. And we started trying immediately, thinking it would take a little while. So we got pregnant early. So I was pregnant at my wedding.
Shotgun.
Yeah, total shotgun. And we thought that his parents, who are very faithful, very religious, were going to lose their minds. And they were so excited.
But because he was so old.
First, yeah, he was really geriatric.
They were just relieved at this point.
This is going to just be called the geriatric podcast. this segment. And they were thrilled, and it was my dad. My mom was thrilled, and my dad went into atrial fib.
Is that right?
Yes.
I forgot that.
He had to go have his heart shocked back into rhythm.
Just anything exciting.
Yeah, pretty much at that time.
That first ultrasound, were you terrified you were going to have twins again?
No, really, because we were like, okay, there's such a big age difference. If it was twins, boy, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And then I did have two miscarriages after Molly, and those were hard. I feel like miscarriage is something that is a secret for women. We don't talk about it, but it's a real loss, and it's a loss for the, if there's a spouse involved, it's a loss for them, or a partner, it's a loss for them too. And yeah, so that was not fun. We really wanted Molly to have a sibling around her age.
Yeah.
But it's, now she's 13 and it's been great.
Yeah.
I think she is such a good mixture of Michael, myself, and both boys that I can't even imagine having somebody else injected into that.
It's just, I have heard that youngest children are the most well-rounded.
Yeah.
Totally.
Right?
She's the youngest, too.
I would never have guessed. I do have a funny story about miscarriage. Right?
Oh, great.
Hilarious.
Do tell.
We can all use a good laugh.
So, Michael and I had moved to Montgomery, Alabama for his work for about 2 years. And I was seeing an OBGYN there. And he came in to tell us that the pregnancy was not viable. And this pregnancy was a little bit farther along. And he said, he was real Southern. He's like, now you got a couple of options here. I mean, we can go and do a DNC, or you can just take some of these pills, but I'm just going to tell you, it is going to be a bloody mess. And Michael and I are looking at each other like, it's what? And then he goes, have you tried those new cupcakes at Gigi's? And we were like, oh my God, we're in the fucking twilight zone. And so now Michael and I, when something's really serious, we'll be like, have you tried those new cupcakes at Gigi's? It's going to be a bloody mess. Sorry.
I'm going to take share. I'm going to start using the Gigi's.
On that note.
Sorry.
Tell us, you seemed like you had some funny stories about your kids queued up. Do you have some?
Oh, our kids are pretty funny. The twins themselves, I mean, when they were babies, they would scoot over to hold hands, which was neat. And they both started thriving more in the NICU when they moved their isolettes next to each other, which I think is pretty amazing. Now they fight. But they, I think underlying, they really love each other. But I was thinking about this. Rex was like a grown-up when he was a little boy. And he would come up to people and say, hello, my name is Rex, R-E-X, Rex. My friends call me T-Rex, and you can call me that, too. It reminds me a little bit of Parker. He's just real serious about things. But one time, he was at some friends of ours at house, and I was a single mom, so there were just boy etiquette things that I didn't know. So the friend of mine walked into the bathroom, and Rex had his pants all the way on the floor, and he was just going number one. And Brian was like, Rex, do you always drop your pants to the floor when you go titty? And he goes, yes, sir. And sometimes I like to take off my socks. That's forever.
I'll never live that down.
And sometimes I like to take off my socks.
T-Rex, R-E-X, Rex.
Yeah.
I'm 1, 2, 3 years old.
He just, when he was little, they called him the godfather or the professor when he was in preschool because he was just very serious.
Yeah.
I mean, he still has a lot of that in him. Mm-hmm. And he's wicked funny. I mean, his comedic timing is awesome. David, they're a bajillion, especially now. Sometimes I think that he's more blonde than brunette, but he's in New York City in film school. Rex is at Swanee. Studying French and history. So they're very, very different. And then Molly got swallowed by a princess when she was about 3. Mm-hmm. And
Never just, looked back.
Yeah, glitter trails everywhere. Now it is skincare. Hmm. That is her greatest interest. And she gave me serums to help with my geriatric state for Christmas and stuff to help with neck waddle.
Oh, I need some of that.
And I'm not in the latest, though, is snail mucin.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Is it and, helping?
Do I look radiant?
Yeah.
Do I look
working.
Like a snail mucus on my face?
It does, in fact.
But it's kind of crazy when your 13-year-old is giving you beauty tips that, right. And she doesn't have, social media is a big, I cannot articulate enough how much I don't like it. But Molly does not have any social media except for Be Real, where they can take pictures, and she's the only friend who doesn't have Instagram or TikTok or, mm-hmm. you know, but her brothers both say, let her wait as long as possible because we just, her self-esteem is so fragile
mm-hmm.
and kids are mean and it's instant. So when a kid will say something, that hasn't changed since we were little, but she'll, you know, one person saying, well, I wear size small, you wear medium or large or whatever, it sticks with her forever. And they're saying it as a passing comment. Right. So that's something that we are emphatic about in our house. Not that you even ask, but
does she push it or is she pretty?
I was going to say, how do you keep her from chill? Because she just follows the rules or how do you?
Yeah, I mean, she'll lose her phone and that phone is a lifeline to her friends. And she doesn't want to lose her phone. But she is really good about rule abiding. And because she's grown up really around adults and her brothers were older, I think she understands more than some of her younger mm-hmm. friends, maybe just because she's been exposed to more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, knock on wood, we talk a lot about it. And she understands why. She doesn't agree, but she understands. And there's always pushback.
Yeah.
And when the princess stopped eating our daughter, sarcasm took over.
Mm-hmm.
And the eye rolls, and she didn't even know she does it. I remember my mom would say, you back talk about everything. And I remember wondering, like, what does that even mean? What does back talk even mean? And now,
now you know.
I live with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I'm interested. Her friends are starting to get phones, and she doesn't push it too hard. She doesn't bring up all of that yet, but all of her communication with her friends is, like, through my phone
mm-hmm.
or, like, Kid Messenger on her iPad.
Well, and ours became a necessity with sports.
Right. At some point, I'm like, I need to get a hold of you. I don't want to keep texting the moms to be like, can you tell?
Yeah, but we waited as long as we could. Same with the boys.
Did you have periods where you struggled with feeling like two different moms?
Always with them. And it's interesting now that the boys are older and they can articulate this to me. David is our hyper creative, always had a project, always takes up a lot of room. And Rex was easier. And for that reason, he didn't get as much attention. And I was a single mom. I didn't even realize it. And if I could go back and change something, I absolutely would have slowed down and taken more time with Rex, just so he knew that he was equally valued. And I tell him that all the time now. But that's a hard one with twins that are so different. And letting go of the fact, with the boys, there was a safety issue for them with their biological father. So I felt like I was always a little bit on guard and uber careful. And I don't know that they knew that, but it took up a lot of space in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And with Molly, I didn't... Right. She was safe. We were safe. We were a team. So it's been a totally different parenting journey. And the boys have weighed in a lot on things they wish I had done differently. And it's very hard to hear because I'm narcissistic in many ways. I think maybe we all are a little bit, but and also because they mean so much to me. I just hate hearing that I might have hurt them. But they're wise in ways that I'm not, and I'm so thankful that they feel comfortable sharing that for Molly. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, at least for me as a mom, it's like I'm going to go to wherever the biggest fire is because I have to go put that out. So to have one kid that's kind of presenting more things that need to be handled or whatever, and the other one is kind of keeps to themselves. Yeah, I would imagine it's like, well, yeah, I'm always going to this one. It's like, squeaky wheel gets the grease. I just was
right and trying to keep the peace. Let's keep the peace. You know.
Do you feel like that? You're two different moms with the older and younger. Like mm-hmm. I saw you the other day and Ava was having a social struggle.
She had a
tough
day,
And Penny was, being a toddler. And I thought, oh, this is a...
yeah, run the gamut.
Yeah. It was a big span.
The spectrum of what is... The needs are just so drastically different.
What would you say, Tatum, is the biggest struggle of this time period, maybe for the boys and then for Molly?
Struggle for them or
no,
for me?
Well, like for you. But I guess maybe the social media stuff.
We don't care about
Molly.
Them.
No.
Yeah. With Molly, it's time. My career and starting a nonprofit, and we're in such a growth phase. It is Michael steps in and to the Mr. Mom role now that doesn't really even exist. I mean, he handles a lot of Molly's day-to-day stuff, and I can't be there during the day for a lot of things, and it just I so badly wish that I could. And that's this year is my does it matter that I am trying to be everything? Does anybody care? No. I need to stop and take the reins and show up because that's important to me. You know, it seems weird to even offer any advice because the older I get, the more I realize how little I know. Mm-hmm. And how I so screwed up as a parent so many times. And my kids do need therapy because of me. But I also, the biggest struggle really is time. Yeah. And that I've read probably every book that exists on work-life balance, and they're all bullshit. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't exist when you're trying to be good at all things. And I'm trying to let go of feeling like I need to be all things to all people.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you already have, a plan? Or you just know that,
strategic plan.
Do you just know, a change is coming soon, or do you already have a first step that you want to take?
I have. First step has been my health. I've for the last 2 years really struggled with some health stuff, and I wouldn't take the time to go get it checked out. So now I have, and I have a great primary care physician who's walking through it with me and accountability, which is great. And the next step is on the professional side. We're hiring a consultant to come in and help us with a long-term strategic plan for the organization so everything does not have to go through me.
Right.
And then actually taking the steps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I put a lot of things on paper for a lot of years of things I'm going to do, but now it's all talk without the actual actionable steps.
Right.
So as our brother Reed would say, my North Star is being present, you know, putting the phone down and looking Molly in the eye when she needs to talk.
Yeah.
You know.
It's hard.
At school, Parker read a book the other day about whole body listening, and he didn't mention it, but they, some little album they sent had that. And I was like, what is whole body listening? Parker, did you learn about that? Did you like that? And he said, yeah. And anyway, just recognizing that he loves the idea. All the kids had asked to read this book again and again, the whole week they were snowed in, and love the idea of whole body listening, putting down your phone, turning your body listening. I haven't read the book, but that's, you know, I asked if that's what it was, and he was like, yeah. So
has he called you out yet at home?
About not whole body listening? He has been saying, if I'm like saying the same thing over and over, sit down and eat your dinner. Sit down and eat your dinner. And then I like recognize kind of I'm being too uppity in the moment, and I'm like, I'm sorry. He'll say, calm your body down.
He is so your child. Very in touch.
Yeah, Penny just, she says chill down instead of chill out that. Or calm down. Chill She's down. Combined it to chill down. So now yeah. we just all say chill down.
Chill down.
Chill down.
Our kids, we would say, I can't know, Mama. I can't know.
Oh, I still say that.
And I'm sitting here going, I can't know how to do that, Rara.
I can't know.
So Sarah is, of our siblings, is absolutely the one who's done the most work on herself introspectively. And it is, she is our Yoda when it comes to navigating mental health. And it is so appreciative, especially learning about boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Biggest hill to climb, you know. still, forever in therapy. Here's what helps keep you afloat. Like, what do you do for yourself?
Things that I really enjoy mm-hmm. are dumpster diving, is what Michael calls it. Mm. But going to estate sales, I call it treasure hunting. Mm-hmm. The boys call them dead people sales. Molly calls them that too. And
both are accurate.
But treasures. Searching for treasures is just really fun for me. And there's some websites that I think Sarah has benefited the most from my dumpster diving and finding treasures.
Mm-hmm. You need to go with McKenzie.
I think she's
sometime.
Benefited. She may not. Sarah may not like them as much as
all
I
my favorite stuff. Well, my feet grew after I had Parker. So I have a man, trying to sell some things off. But yes, pretty much everything I have that's cool, you gave me.
Oh, and thanks. Mom. There are a few, especially in Nashville, when there's some, you know, the music legends who have estate sales. There's so many neat treasures like Earl Scruggs. It's in here. It is the Bedazzler, the rhinestone stud maker.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah.
came from Earl Scruggs, one of the greatest banjo players of all time, from his estate. But I saw a friend of mine there, and she found, his wife was a great artist manager, and she found her Valium bottle that was in her sewing kit that everybody thought was buttons, but it was her Valium.
That's amazing.
It's just funny.
With Valium in it?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. But the treasures, the history, mm-hmm. and the stories. Yeah,
I do
really
like that about estate sales or thrifting. It's like thinking of the houses and hands that something's passed mm-hmm. through before it got to me.
The story, the people's stories, and that that's one of my favorite things about the human condition and people is we all have a story.
Hey, Mom Cult listeners. Hey, Sarah.
Hi. Hi, Joy.
What are you thinking about eating? This week.
I'm hungry right now.
Yeah.
I've been like trying to pre-plan dinners. I met this mom who said to do that, and then I've been doing it. And so two nights a week we do these like dinners, and then like two other nights a week I'm cooking dinner. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, well, what am I going to cook for dinner? And a really like when I need to figure out, wow, cut that out.
Just keep it. I'll cut it. Yeah.
And when I need to figure out what to do last minute, mm-hmm. there's a really good option really close to us.
Can I guess what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to guess that it's Mr. Aaron's Goods.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And you can always use code MOMCULT for 20% off your purchase, which we should close with, but we're putting it here.
20% off? What?
That's a lot. That's like almost 50.
Might as well
carry
be
the wine.
Yeah. You want a free meal?
Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 2. They're open, and Saturdays, 9 to noon, or until when they sell out. They are at TKO still, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
TKO in East Nashville. They have Gresh pasta, sauces, other specialty goods. They're family owned and operated, awesome people. And yeah, what do you think about it?
I think I love Gresh pasta. Can't get enough Gresh pasta. Check them out at MrAaronsGoods.com. That's MrAaronsGoods.com. MRAARONS Goods.com.
I'm using code MOMCULT for 20% off. Gresh.
100% off. Crèche. 100% off Crèche pasta.
This is so good. I hope you guys enjoy this. Wow.
Mom guilt. I feel like we heard your mom guilt. You don't have enough time and how you messed up before.
Well, and one other thing. Yeah, totally screwed up the first good
round. Right,
rounds.
Right. You feel
Rex and David,
that?
I am just so sorry. I love you so much.
Everybody.
I think they're pretty
stuff.
Great kids. It's,
there's no. Yes, they are. And they are.
Critical thinkers and empathetic.
Really well adjusted.
Really well. Yes. I did not put my health first, and I'll work at a healthcare nonprofit. I mean, built a healthcare nonprofit, and I have not taken care of my own health. Hello. I mean, the cobbler's kids have no shoes, I guess. That's something that if I could turn back the clock to, I would prioritize my health so much more. Yeah, I feel guilty about that. I live in guilt. So should I just start?
I think we all do.
So my therapist the other day said, I don't know exactly how she worded it, but love and fear can't coexist because anger and shame are really fear, like different kinds of fear. So
how do you even remember this? Like, do you write it down when you're in therapy?
Well, sometimes she just gives extra. That was a really resonant thing.
I'd be like, stop. I got to write that down.
That's a good. Well, I do. I write down. Yeah, I did write it down. But that particular one stuck with me because I have anger, shame, fear, resentment, all of those things. And consciously, now I'm not doing this every day. I've been like mad and sick for 5 days and just not great, whatever. So I'm not acting like I'm, but consciously going, focusing on love helps like replace that feeling.
Yeah, a lot of love.
Yeah.
I'm just a big hunk of bone and love. I started thinking about things about you because you were like my first child. Mm-hmm. I mean, not really, but I was thinking.
You were, yeah.
But we didn't know about type A and anxiety or anything. But when you were little and I drove you to school in my Geo Metro, that got 56 miles to the gallon. Mm-hmm. And you would not let me play slow songs because they made you cry. And that reminds me so much of Parker. And then it took us, we'd have to build in an extra 20 minutes to get out the door because your socks had to be rolled down like Saturn rings around her ankles with her wee box that were like little black Mary Janes. Then the Velcro had to be on just right or we couldn't leave. And her hair, I mean, the ozone layer went out, at least one of them, with the gel and hairspray Sarah would put in with her bangs, and she would slick it back. And it was a serious process, very serious process.
How long did that phase last? Do you remember?
Preschool to third grade, probably. I was gone. I went to college when she was
second grade.
Second grade. Mm-hmm. It was serious. And she had a huge empathetic heart for older people. I mean, I think it started because of your granddaddy. You loved your granddaddy. Mm-hmm. And that was really sweet. But the no sad songs, I mean, it was serious. I remember pulling over at least twice on the way to console her because a sad song came on the radio.
The sad songs make Parker cry too, or he'll go, well, why is that? Why are they playing that song like in a movie? Why is that sad song? And then he'll be crying, but he'll act like he's not crying. He'll brush it away. And I'm like, it's okay to cry. Like, you can cry. Right now, if he coughs, he says, hairball. Hairball.
Molly, when she would toot, she'd say she had a frog in her booty.
That's what Jeremy and Penny say.
They
that's
do.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that's
she,
funny.
She, almost every single time.
She would die. She is going to. You might need to edit that out. She will die if she listens to this and knows that I said that out loud.
Molly?
Yeah.
No.
Nah. Every single time Penny coughs since she was a baby, Jeremy will say, you okay? And so he does it so much that now when she's around me, she'll cough. I don't ever say anything and she'll go, I'm okay, Mom. Just volunteer the information.
I'm good.
I mean, or I won't say anything and she'll cough again on purpose, waiting for the, are you okay?
Having this moment sitting here looking at both of you who I have known since forever, talking to you both as parents is kind of mind-blowing. I mean, honestly mind-blowing. It also makes my heart want to explode with joy because you're such great parents. Mm. And now you have a podcast that helps other parents. That is really amazing.
Well, this is really for us.
I think the jury's still out on if it's helping anyone.
Yeah. It helps me.
Yeah.
I don't know about anybody else, but this is...
I'm always worried that people just think maybe I don't like my kids. But it's because I use this space to...
vent?
Yeah, to get that stuff out. I just assume, surely everyone knows mm-hmm. all the wonderful things about my kids. That's just not what this podcast is for, is to mm-hmm. sit here and say what's great about my kids.
Yeah.
That's what Facebook and Instagram are
right,
for.
Right, that's what my Instagram is for.
Yeah, I don't do that really right now. I read this article the other day that was like millennials, it's like an obligation to complain about your kids, and how if you come in and say, you know, it's great, and you're like positive about it, then that gets judged. And I'm worried that like I was playing into that. But no, I think we're just, you know, being honest about how we feel about things. But I definitely come in here and say a lot of nice, come in here. Where? What? A lot of great things about
him. We grew up in the South, too, where in the South, you have to push everything under the rug and everything's just fine. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for it not to be, mm-hmm. you know, just not all the time. At some mm-hmm. point, you got to put on your big girl pants or big boy pants. Hell, the elastic in my pants are so worn out from pulling them up so many times. But at some point, you got to own it, too. I mean, own your own crazy, own your chaos. That's important too. But I mean, there's got to be a balance. And balance, our family, myself, balance is not something that is our strong point. You know, it's all or nothing. Mm-hmm. That's a constant work. That's another North Star. I don't know if you can have more than one. I have a constellation of here.
North Stars. It's just a row.
Yeah. Is balance a myth? Is it feasible? Do we know? Does anybody know?
Well, all the people online who... That's such bullshit.
Oh, yeah, all the perfect stuff?
Yeah. There is dysfunction everywhere, and that's okay. But you got to own it and try to fix it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever find it, but I'm never going to stop trying to find
it. Yeah, me too. The quest.
Yeah.
I feel like you've given a lot of things like this today, but what do you wish someone would have told you before you had kids, even if it's something you said already? But
slow down. Listen, that this was our pediatrician in the very beginning when the boys were born was Dr. Joseph Lentz, and he's passed away, but he was wise. And I wish I could have just followed him around and written down all the little quips he said. But he was talking about raising children, and he said, you know, it is a process and not an event. Everything is not an event. It is a process. And it's looking back now that I'm like, oh, yeah. Everything's messy, and that's okay. But celebrate the wins, too, you know, for both kids, not just one.
Right. Not like how you did it.
Yeah, not like the way I did it. No, we celebrate Rex. I hope he knows.
He's like the middle child without being the middle child.
He gets it. He gets it.
He gets it.
And he was born first. That's not fair.
He was. He's the oldest by a minute. And that minute is an eternity. They hold that over each other so much. But then David will say, yeah, but I got my driver's permit first. You failed. That's their thing. It's both back and forth. But my greatest wish for all three kids is that they find the relationship that we have found with our siblings of trust and love, and we know we can depend on each other. And that came after we lost a sibling, is, you know, no holds barred. We have got to have each other's back. And that's been really special, and I hope that they find that. I hope they find it sooner than we did.
I think they will.
Well, I've always felt supported by y'all. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Sarah, she did live with us for a little while, and that was some of the most special time. So that's some of the boys' Rex would say, yeah, I don't remember that at all. David would really? Say it was the best time.
That's funny. Your kids are a big part of what made me so excited to have kids.
Yeah. It's good that it wasn't the opposite.
No, they're so fun.
And I do need to give a big plug to Sarah's husband, Eric, who has bond with both boys. Mm. And for the last 4 or 5 years on our family vacation, Eric and the boys carve out this time, like after 10 o'clock, after everybody's gone to bed, they meet on the porch or wherever they can have their time, and they call it safe space. And Eric moderates Rex and David's discussions. And it means so much to them. I mean, I'll hear them talking and they'll be like, safe space. You know, I mean, it's like mm-hmm. something that Eric's built with them. And I'm not sure I can articulate how much that means to me. And they, all three of our kids, feel like Sarah is their go-to person for advice, mm-hmm. all of them. And that's a special thing, too, that they have that person that they can trust and ask hard questions of.
Yeah, they're like, who's been to therapy the most?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We know she takes notes, so she's got to have something for us. She'll have something.
Well, let me check it just... I don't know if we haven't even have a pop culture corner. I was really invested in the bio, so...
Yeah.
I'm pretty... I sent Sarah a text this week. I'm pretty excited about Truman Capote's new... There's a show coming out about the swans, and those were Truman Capote's, like... high society. It was kind of like the Real Housewives before the Real Housewives. Mm. They were the real Housewives of New York City, real high society. And
his group of ladies.
His women. And then he wrote this book about them, a total expose, named them all different things, but everybody knew. And they disowned him. They would have nothing to do with him after that. Mm. And he fell into a dark alcoholic binging depression that eventually led to his demise. But that
show sounds great.
Yeah, that's all the really yucky
knee slapper.
But now somebody's making money off of this.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. That and like Law and Order, SVU. No, I'm just kidding. All the real pick me ups.
I'm Dahmer. After
being snowed in a fucking Hallmark movie for a week, and then I'm like ready for the cop shows again. Yeah. We lived the Hallmark movies, and it was really fun. But
so, did you watch those during that time?
Some Molly and I will binge Hallmark movies together as much as we can from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and then we have a period of making fun of the Hallmark movie. Like it was real sweet, and then it gets just stupid, and we don't care about all the love and it getting the prince or whatever. And then we start making fun of it, and we're like, why aren't there gay stories? Why aren't there stories about what if this happened, and where are the biracial couples? And
there's a gay one, though, now.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
It's okay.
There's one gay one.
Yeah, there's one. It's why Candace Cameron left the network.
Because they were branching out.
Because they had gay.
Oh, don't say gay.
Ugh. That is a very important topic that we have not discussed, is both of our twins are gay.
I didn't know they both were.
They're both gay and very different, you know, very different gay. For us, that it's who they are. It's a non-issue, and it was our entire family has embraced that. My bonus mom will sometimes say, David is more openly gay. Openly gay, I don't know that they're both open, but...
Traditionally
gay. He's not feminine, but he's creative and into the arts, and he came out first when he was 15 to Sarah. I mean,
I remember that.
Yeah, before anybody, he felt most comfortable talking to you. It was not a surprise. With Rex, he is very typical male. I mean, David calls him the most ungay gay man, or Republican gay. That's what. Yeah. Which Rex is like, whatever. But for our family, great. They were born this way. This is who they are. We love them well. And we still run into, you know, people say, well, I pray for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, great. I'll pray for your kids, too. That's awesome.
People say that?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, it's a few, and it's mostly people who are ill-informed. Mm-hmm. I hope that that's what's wrong. If not, they're complete bigots and assholes, and I don't want to be friends with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you, as their mom, were you anxious when they both came out? Did any new fear arise in you for their safety or?
The answer to that is no. There was no, I've never feared for their safety, or they're very comfortable with who they are. And I think for sure that they would say that as well. I think my fear, I don't know that it's a fear, concern, is this is not the straight and narrow road. This is a hard road, and anything that is hard or will, where your children are going to hit roadblocks or discrimination or feel pain, because every other day on the news there's something about gay marriage or gay adoption, and who the fuck cares if mm-hmm. you, I mean, I hope for my kids, all of them, that they love and get to be loved. I mean, that is what I pray for and hope for, and hope that we have taught them that they really understand what it means to be loved, because I didn't understand that. I didn't understand until my marriage now what love really was. And I don't, when you are gay, that's a more difficult path. I mean, dating in college that sits up on a hill in Suwanee, Tennessee, is not as easy as dating in New York City.
Right.
You know, but Rex is fine with that, you know, and he is self-aware and self-confident enough that he's okay. And that warms my heart.
Yeah.
You know, but I constantly, as if they were straight, have the same worries about broken hearts and, you know, first loves and that kind of thing. But like most teenage boys, or now they're 21, but they don't really want to talk to their mom about their love life.
Right.
And of course, I'm always like, well, be safe. Don't do that. You know, and they're like, oh, shut up.
Gross, mom.
But yeah, that's part of our story too.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you every time that I'm around them, you've done an incredible job with them. Like, they're all so, like you say, self-aware, evolved, aware of the world around them. In any struggles that they have, they know, they seek solutions and seek ways to work through them. And I just, you've done an incredible job.
Thanks, Rara.
You're welcome.
I concur.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'm proud of you girls.
Proud of you.
We're proud of you.
Oh, thanks.
I can't, I mean, yeah. You're, I mean, obviously it's more of a, related to your job, but your role in my life is, I can't tell you how much I get stressed out about things like insurance that I don't understand, and you take a lot of worry off my plate.
Thank you.
So I appreciate it, even though it comes at the sacrifice of you not being there for your own children.
No,
I appreciate,
that's not it.
I appreciate you being there for me.
Those are not the things that, that's the part that I love. It's the running a business part that takes up more time.
Well, hopefully change is a coming.
Thanks. I love y'all.
Love you too. Thanks for taking the time.
You can find Music Health Alliance at musichealthalliance.com.
Oh, we have the best logo that was designed by the coolest graphic designer.
Right.
Yeah. Sarah Helen Parker Massey Designs.
Mm-hmm. SHPM Creative.
Oh, sorry. Okay. SHPM Creative.
But I
the logo is awesome.
So. Thank you. Thank you. It is one of my favorite ones. It is maybe my favorite one. I love it so much. If you are in music and are seeking help, you can reach out to them. And you can follow us at Mom Cult Podcast on Instagram and themomcult.com to listen wherever you get your podcast. And, you know, rate us and things. We appreciate it.
Love you.
We do.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.